You can't? Can you hear me now? All right. We ask that if there's any members of the press here that they use any account of this in their papers or their publications, please do not use any of our names. Anyone having tape recorders will be asked to leave them. There will be tapes available at the desk outside if you will leave your name and your order for what you want. We have too many that have joined the Purple Robe group, so we're going to have to really move along here because we want to hear from all of them. Especially me, I was here an hour and a half early and I still don't know what I'm doing. Who I'm going to do it to. Without any further ado, we're going to start right off with the group and try to hear from all of the people that are eligible for this occasion. Our first speaker tonight is Bill Marcus.
Thank you very much, Roy, and good evening, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Bill Marcus, and I'm an alcoholic. I was one of the lucky ones. In 1 week, on October the 1st, a week from tonight, God willing, it'll be 32 years since I walked into my first AA meeting. I was in uniform. I was in the service in San Diego. And there wasn't a hell of a lot to get sober about, you know, with the war going on. But I'll say that for Eddie Boland, God bless him, because he said it at every meeting we met once a year for a good many years. I am grateful, very, very grateful that I was able to grasp AA that first night. Because it turned me around, it turned my life around, my family's life, and what I was like and what happened, I think you all know. I think it's suffice to say that I grew up behind a set of drums with big bands. And that's a license to get drunk right there. That's all you need. But I got turned around and eventually got out of the music business and started in the San Diego group. I think that the thing that saved me and made it possible for me to get over the hump and in spite of what I was doing, not take another drink, was the meetings in San Diego where they had question and answer groups. And many of you here friends of mine know that I've said this many times, but it meant so much to me I'm going to throw it out tonight, and that is when I asked, because I believed that it was a disease, the minute I heard it, that made a lot of sense to me. Yes, it's a disease, and therefore, if it's a disease, it must have symptoms, and if we can learn to recognize the symptoms, then we might prevent a relapse. And I was fortunate that a man was there who said, yes, of course, there are symptoms. You'll find them in the 10th step. They come in the form of thought processes that set up in our mind wherein we justify that it's all right to take that first drink when we know we shouldn't have it. And they usually come in the emotions, such as, number one in the book, resentment, anger, jealousy, self-pity, dishonesty, all of the things that we've used all of our drinking lives. And when they start, if we learn to recognize them and put them down immediately, call your sponsor, go to more meetings. And that's all I heard in those early days, and I did. And all I can tell you tonight, thank God that I did, and thank God for all you people out there, because the people in AA made it possible. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Bill. Our next speaker Incidentally, there's more than 30 years required continuous sobriety to be on this program. You also must not have had any more wives than you've had years of sobriety. Our next speaker just made it. He's been married more times than I have. Clyde Davis.
Thank you, I think. I'm Clyde Davis, member of Alcoholics Anonymous. I have to sort of echo what Bill said. Thanks to many of you who are in this room, I've been without a drink for 30 and a half years. I started at the North Hollywood Group. A doctor sent me there. He wasn't sure he could keep me alive long enough to get sober. But you folks showed me how to stay sober.
I knew how to get sober, but
you showed me how to stay sober. I studied the book, I've studied traditions, I've studied all the literature, I keep studying it, practicing this program a day at a time. I don't know how much longer I may live. I came here just short of 37 years. I was told by one of the old timers then that I was too damn young to be an alcoholic. Thank God I didn't listen to him. I knew I was, and this has been my life. I was sober 8 years to surpass the number of wives I've had, for your information. Thank God I've got the wife I've been looking for all the while. She went to Al-Anon, and between Al-Anon and AA, I barely stay well. But I need both programs as much now as I did then, even more perhaps. But there's so many of you who've been important to me. I couldn't name all of you, but two very special people, Don and Ray, wherever Ray is out here somewhere, there he is. Two of my very special people in AA, and I love them especially, but I love you all. Thank you.
Next, we're going to have a girl-type alcoholic, Thelma Tate.
Good evening, everyone. Can you hear me all right? I'm Thelma Tate, alcoholic. My entrance into Alcoholics Anonymous was via Alcoholic Sanitarium out in San Fernando Valley. And thought I had to be hospitalized for alcohol. And some of the AA women at that time came out to see me. And they brought such a message of hope to me, and telling me that this alcoholism was a disease. Physical allergy to mental obsession. Now, we hear this all the time. But this was the big hope, because if it's a disease, you can get rid of it, and not a moral issue. And it lifted such a tremendous load of guilt from my shoulders. Then they also had a very happy and joyful living expression, and their smiles and laughter. And I thought, why, what is there to laugh at? You know, it would be wonderful if you could ever laugh again. And they said they had found a joy of living because they were free from alcohol. And I said, well, I have no willpower left. And they said, it doesn't take willpower, just willingness, just a day at a time. And it seemed too good to be true. But I fought it. I attended the Hollywood Central Group and for Hollywood groups and North Hollywood groups for about 10 years, and a club, 6,300 club meetings there. And then we moved to Altadena and Pasadena. And for the past 20 years, I've been active in AA in Pasadena. So I want to pay a tremendous, real tribute of gratitude to the women members of Alcoholics Anonymous for their work that they've done, that have helped me, and that I have had the privilege of helping too. Because they say in AA there's two kinds of alcoholics, male and female. And I'm very, very pleased to be a female member of Alcoholics Anonymous. And just one thing I wanted to add is my husband and I, we had our golden wedding anniversary last June, 50 years of marriage. Certainly, that could never have come about without this wonderful program and God's blessing. And I feel that us old oldsters have a lot to give to new people, and I think new people have a lot to give to us, newcomers and younger members. And we have much to share and much to give each other. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Thelma. The next one is a drunken painter, Jack Durden.
Hey. Hello, everybody. I'm Jack Durden, alcoholic. Sometime back, a woman says, "You've been in AA so long now, you can take it 2 days at a time." There's a lot of adventure and romance in AA. Eddie Bolden and I started the Beverly Hills Group 30 years ago in January. There were 7 chairmen and 1 spectator. He got cold about 1 o'clock and we rolled him up in one of the drapes. And when he broke loose, he, with the speed of an antelope, he took off. And we haven't seen him since. That's the way we did it in those days. And what can you say for somebody that in January has had 32 years on his program? I've had a lot of fun. I've had tragedies happen in my life. But A has always come first to me. I've never lost my enthusiasm for this program. I don't work as hard at it as I used to. Because in the old days, we needed customers and we drug you off the street whether you're an alcoholic or not. Just the one thing, I'll sit down, about the air of importance. I talked to Brentwood one night, and there was a drunken lady in the back, and after I got through speaking, she came up to me, and she said, "This was a lousy meeting, wasn't it?" So I said, "Didn't you like that young lady that spoke ahead of me?" She said, "No, she was lousy, too." And I'd had 29 years on AA then. So I said, "Maybe if you'd come over to Roxbury Park at Beverly Hills, maybe we could help you." She said, "I would if you wouldn't talk." I think the young people is the life's blood of this program. You can't stop progress, and everybody wants to be a member of something that's successful. And this program is successful. We deal in human lives here. There's a lot of guys behind me, including myself, Roy, that have been pallbearers to a lot of young people and old people that maybe shouldn't have died. But in the old days, we used to say that happened to make the rest of us stronger. I don't know too much about that. I'll leave that spiritual thing to Chamberlain. And because Chuck and I came up together many years before AA. But for you young people, there's a lot of everything in here for you if you want it. Longevity doesn't mean anything to me personally. I can only speak for myself. I hate to be referred to as an old-timer. I like to be referred to as just a member of Alcoholics Anonymous, or somebody that comes here to try to find the things that the newcomer does. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Jack. Next we have Mike Z.
Thank you. Well, Mike is my name and also alcoholic. It's a great improvement out here since 1946, August the 4th, the 12th, to 1976. You know, I'm going to get it a little bit of time, you know. I told the that it's only 5 minutes. I say, you have to give me 7 and a half because I'm always ruined out 2 minutes, 2 things of what I'm going to say. So that will be, if I be overtime, let me quit just as quick as I can. Ladies and gentlemen, newcomers and visitors to this marvelous AA group out here to bottom floor at Pasadena. I thought I lost it, but I got it. In a marvelous to be out here, all of these people, you never thought you fellas ever drink anything. they look like go to a cathedral some way, some room or some of those high hydraulic pressure audience, you know. This is a marvelous thing. This alcoholic is the people that they understand one another. They help one another. When they help me, I'm telling you, they help somebody. You know that I don't know what they was talking about? Yeah, exception of the mind, the allergy of the body. You never hear that at the bar. But Bill and Clive was out there, he said, you're going to learn, he said. It's no fee, no due. So coffee and donuts free. So that's kind of I breathe on that because I never know that mean print any money anymore because I never do have any. So that's the is, ladies and gentlemen. You know, I used to be a farmer between drinks, but I never harvest anything. You know, who was Bill or Clyde? He said, take easy. That's an important thing. You know, I was in Montana to the home state one time out there, so it was kind of a snow that time. It was just September the 12th, I guess, when the fair started out there. So a fella coming out there, he said, let's go coyote hunting. I said, don't go any farther. You offer Siberia animal over by the barn. I said, go shoot them. He go down there, he say, well, he say, we don't shoot those fish, it's a porcupine. Well, I say, well, that's all the severity of those. They don't, they're harmless. And I say, I tell you, I say, you don't shoot them because there's only one in the state of Montana. Well, he say, there's a lot of them. I say, you telling me that those multiply? He say, yes. Well, I say, how they making love one another with all the severe stuff in there? You know that farmer, what did he say? Just the same, somebody say, I'm here, he say, they take easy. Yeah. So, you know, if you take easy, you can do most anything. You do the things now that you do when you were strong, but you do it sober. So it's no make do that. But I'm so so glad to be out here, and I want to thank you from the bottom of my heart, each one and every one, Amo, that you all make possible for me to be out here tonight, and God bless you all until we meet again.
Thank you, Mike. God has already blessed us, Mike. Next, we got another female type and an old pal of mine, Sybil.
Thank you, Mike. Well, speaking of marriages, my name is Sybil Doris Adams Stratton Hart Maxwell Willis Horwitz, and I am an alcoholic. That ought to tie somebody's record. Now, back in March 23rd, 1941, when I attended my first meeting, I wouldn't have told anyone anything about me because I was so ashamed. I had no feeling of self-worth at all when I crawled into Alcoholics Anonymous as a result of the Jack Alexander article in the Saturday Evening Post. I read that March 1st article in a Turkish bath, wrote a letter to New York for help, and I got it in great abundance. I attended my first meeting at the Elks Temple across from Westlake Park, now MacArthur Park, and there were 12 or 14 men there, and I didn't think I was welcome. I really didn't. I thought they threw me out, which was a mistake. It was simply that it was a closed meeting, and there were a few women there, wives of the alcoholics, and they asked the women to leave the room, and I thought they meant me. I left, but I did go back the next week, thank God. I got drunk and called Cliff Walker, and he told me to go back and tell him that I was an alcoholic. Well, thank God for the women. They began to come in and drove. They were all about my age, I guess, and we were pretty prissy. We didn't tell each other anything that mattered, and we never did. Consequently, I didn't take my fifth step. It didn't amount to anything, the little bit that I did. I only told enough to qualify as an alcoholic. So consequently, I hurt a lot. Fortunately, I had some glorious years where nothing seemed to go wrong, and then the roof caved in, and I began to have some bad times, and I wasn't equipped to meet it because I had not been using that fourth and fifth step as I should have been, so I took things pretty hard. But I knew all the time that Alcoholics Anonymous was a medicine that would work when the chips were down, and it did. I hurt, but I stood still, and I waited, and I got over it, and I had the good times again, better than ever. And so it has been through 35 and a half years without a drink. And I am so happy to be here tonight and see all these beautiful people, and I mean truly beautiful people, among them a baby of mine, June. I'm one of her sponsors, and I believe I will be right if I will say that she was 13 when she came in and will be 18, I think, in July. I may have missed it a few months one way or the other, but she's had a lot of sobriety. Now, think of that. The young people comfort me a lot. The young people like June and Bob Holm from the Culver City Group, because, for one thing, they are very open and they talk about themselves. And meeting these young people and learning from them, I've learned to talk about myself. My life is an open book, and I don't have to hurt anymore. Thanks to all of you, and especially to the young people and the women of Alcoholics Anonymous.
Thank you, Sybil. I was just thinking as I was sitting here that when I was sober about a year, there wouldn't be about 20% of the people here that we would waste any time on. They wouldn't be ready. Because we couldn't do anything with anybody that had still had a pot or a window. Or any kind of health or youth. Next we've got Louis, Louis.
Hello, everybody. My name is Louis Atanasio. I told everybody if you can't pronounce, whistle it. What do you say? What, come up here for 5 minutes and try to put 50 or 54 years of drinking and sobriety together. It's time. Driving down the road in 29 bombs, I'm trying to get some thoughts in my mind what to say. And the more I tried, the more confused I became. It was right after World War II that I had my biggest troubles with drinking. It was in Detroit, Michigan. The last 6 months were disastrous. By that time, my wife had given me the walking papers. And that was my third one, Clyde. You're the only one. So, one day, I knew a couple of fellas that used to get drunk with me, and once in a while I saw them getting stayed sober. And I asked one of the fellas, his name was John, I said, how come you're staying sober? He said, I go to AA meetings. So one day in desperation, I called up the office in Detroit, asked me where the meeting was. She wanted to send somebody to come and see me. I said, no, I was afraid they'd put me in a booty hatch. She told me one night it was, so I went. And thank the God, there were three fellas there, three sons I had. They took me in tow. They took special care of me. Not because I wasn't better than anybody else, but I was unique at the time. I was the only Italian in AA. This is what I They couldn't say, they said they didn't think an Italian or Italian or Jew could be alcoholics. Well, bless their souls, all three of them are dead today. In fact, the last 15 years. But they told me to keep going to the meetings. And shortly after that, I came to, this was now April 1946. Remember, in November 47, I came to California. And I met my good friend Bob McCollum, sitting over there, and Tom Carpenter, and Roger Gardner, and so many others. And I heard Bob say in one meeting one time, he says, you go to the meetings because this is a school of thought. The only difference between an AA meeting and a regular classroom is we don't have no paid teachers. We teach each other. And the only time you graduate when you die. And I remember that many, many years ago. Briefly, how I practice this program is to live AA to the best of my ability. To practice these principles in all my affairs. No, I'm a better person than I was 30 years ago. And somewhere along the line, a few months ago, I read a piece of an article in the paper that says that there is nothing noble in trying to be superior to somebody else. The true nobility is being superior to your previous self. That's me. Each day I try to do better than yesterday. And I hope that God, I'll never come to the day I say that I can do no better or that I know at all. Because that's the day you're in trouble. That's the day you become least indispensable. And I bet you there's a lot of people walking the streets now looking for jobs because they thought they were being indispensable. I practice the serenity prayer every day, as often as necessary. I also developed another prayer that I believe it points us all the 12 steps. Like an airplane pilot, before he takes off, he's got a checklist to go by. And if he's a good pilot, you check all, everything is on a checklist before he takes off. So I try to reinforce myself every morning before I go out. And I'd like to share that prayer with you, if I may. Lord, help me go through this day, enjoy full sobriety. Be with me, with every move I make and every step I take. And help me to help myself to become a better person, physically, mentally, morally, socially, and spiritually. And to live my life according to thy will. Amen. I thank you and I love you all.
Gene Edmondson. Good evening, friends. I'm Gene Edmondson. I'm powerless over alcohol and alcoholism. I have 32 years since my last drink. I am a repeater, I'm a returner. I first reached the AA July the 4th weekend of 1939 in New York. That was just beyond a few episodes. Less than 10 in New York, about 20 out in Akron. We had no literature, no meeting place. We just hung together. I managed to stay sober 3 years and then was wrecked again and came back when I got to Los Angeles in 44. Fortunately, the book hadn't come out at that time. One thing if we get from the Oxford group. See, that, it was related in those first 4 years with Bill. And he was very discouraged because there's so few who are staying sober. But it happened that Bill one day asked a couple of the fellas who were there and brought the wires went in to take seats. And then they go out to the sidewalk. I was over there at that time. We smoke cigarettes, talk about everything but how alcohol affected us. It was religion. We were trying to better ourselves. Fortunately, for our whole program, the Oxford group minister was using the Sermon on the Mount, the Lord's Prayer, written by Emmett Fox. And we used that and studied that for quite a while. And that's what Bill and a few of the fellows, at least Bill and Fitzy Mayo, a couple of them, interpreted for our program. It was taken from the Sermon on the Mount, the Lord's Prayer, by Emmett Fox. However, it started to break away. A lot of people, they give a lot of credit to Oxford group, that's fine, but Bill was going there for his spiritual and religious guidance. He and a couple of more people that were not affiliated with the church. So one day, as I say, Bill told two fellas who'd brought the wires went in and took seats. They'd go out to the crib and we'd meet and talk baseball, anything they wanted to. So Bill said, why don't you bring your wives out home, leave them at Lois, and then we'll come back to the people. So they did that, and that's how we broke away from the Oxford group. After two or three meetings, the boys, it was the first time they were discussing how alcohol affected them physically or personally. But and they were getting somewhere. And Bill one time asked him, said he was very discouraged after 4 hard years and less than 30 holding sobriety, staying sober with the program. Wonder what's happened, why we're not growing. So then they said, well, let's see how we are sober. Now, and then the first fellow, how about you, Horace? Horace Crystal been in state institution 6 or 8 or 15 times. His doctor told him after that, said, Horace, I can't do a thing for you. But I know of a few fellows who, we doctors who treat them, drunks are staying sober. They're meeting with a fellow out in Brooklyn named Bill. And this, he said, maybe you can get help there. But he told, promised him, you find out Bill's number and home. And he gave it to Horace, and Horace called and went out. And then they asked Tom Burrell, same story. Went out. That's how they got the tradition we changed. We prefer to go by attraction rather than promotion. And we used that, and that was it. And what I found out at first, and I got my AE there, those fellas told me they identified themselves with me. I knew they were powerless over alcohol. I knew they were sober. It's the first time in my life I was confronted by a human being could resist the drink of alcohol. I didn't learn in AE I should give up the use of a drink and alcohol. And my drinking record is the reason I wanted to quit. I wanted to quit when I was 22 years of age. I never will forget when effective Falstead Act was going into effect. I was 24 years old and happy. Why? Be no more booze for me to drink after July the 4th. So, these fellas, I knew them to be enthused over what they found. And they told me that they had to change their entire way of living. They didn't tell me I had to do anything. They also told me they had to give up a lot of their old ideas. They didn't tell me I had to. But I was confirmed by example that a man who's lost control could stop, and they I believed them. So then I reasoned, maybe if I tried to do what they do, I too can have sobriety. They also told me how they were able to change the way of living and thinking. That is, take that inventory, honest inventory of yourself. Know yourself, eliminate all your defects of character, your bad habits and all. And it takes time to do that. And they recommend the inventory. Well, I tried. The fellow gave me the most encouragement to try it, but the fellow hadn't had a drink for a week. He was still shaking, his eyes were floating, and he was nervous, but he was happy. And I believed him. Then I'd say, I came over that drunk. That was drunk. That, yes, I guess it was drunk. Drinking. And this fellow, I said, how am I going to do? I can't sleep. And that, he said, I couldn't sleep either. I haven't slept. But you told me I had to endure it. I had to weather the storm. I dance now, I'm playing the fiddle. And he hadn't made a week, but he didn't take a drink to sleep. I walked those streets of Hoboken that night and the next two or three nights and week. And then I told the other boys, what are you going to do when you get the heebie-jeebies? A drink's the only thing that'll stop it. They said, you'll have to hurry, buddy. You've danced. You've got to pay the fiddler. You can't taper off. And they also assured me that I was hurting them to endure that and not take that drink. He said, if you drink again, your hurt will be much more harder to go through than this is going through now. So I managed to get sober and take the 10th step, and I'm still taking it. I think we'll have to take that until we die. But AA hadn't changed one iota of our program since I met up with it July the 4th, 1939. But look how I've changed. Needs in life, conditions, age, and so forth. I'm now 81. But again, anything that I need today is still in AA to give me the comforts and the courage to go and enjoy this wonderful life that we got. And I credit our first AA, and I give myself full credit because I followed the rule, applied the rule, and stuck with it. I'm a 33 years, I spent 16 of them, and just gave it up here before last. This whole living in a house manager of a 12-step house. And I don't regret a minute of the time I was there. I wasn't able to go off and around like a lot of people because they hadn't been in there needed care or they may be putting them in. I'm very grateful for my sobriety, and I just hope that I'll never allow myself to drink again. And I want to say this, a drink is not to slip. It's a drink is evident that one's been on a slip. Because I slicked a heck of a long time during that third year before I took the drink. I got to toying with the idea now that I know why I got drunk. That physical allergy, the obsession, you know, introduced. Now when I get that kick of the glow, I always went for the kick when I drank before. That's what I wanted, but for it to die down, I was uncomfortable. I didn't know how much to add. So invariably, I'd have no one be drunk again. So during those last 8 months before I took the drink, I was slipping away from the principles of AA. My interest in AA, my attitude was changing. I was fighting AA, fighting members, not willing to do the 12-step work I'd done before. A fellow who had plenty of money, looked clean and nice, and might play a good game of bridge, I'd pay attention to him, but the poor fellow shaking and broken down, and I was indifferent. So that's where I slipped. But to drink is just proof I've been on the slip. Thank you.